to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg. Today we're continuing our discussion about dating within the LDS Church, and I'm joined by the two ladies behind a website that helps people in all stages of their life that are wanting a relationship that's also tied to LDS principles and the gospel. Ladies, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks
for having us.
So this is Elisa Snell, the dating coach for it, and also Amy Stevens. First, how did you guys get involved in this, and why did you think this was an important company to start?
Well, I do have a lot of passion because of my own life experience as a single, going through a temple marriage and then divorce, and now I'm excited to announce that I'm getting married next month.
Oh, congratulations.
And so thank you. Well, so during that time, I realized it wasn't so easy dating in your 30s as it was in your 20s. And my background was as an executive corporate recruiter doing human resources and consulting with people in different ways. And I realized the skill set I had could really be taken to solve some of these issues in the singles scene where people were trying to connect. They knew different people, and yet they weren't finding the person that they wanted to be with. And so I thought, you know, this is a big industry nationwide, and no one's focusing on the LDS community and specific needs. And so I came across Elisa Goodwin Snell, and she's known as Utah's dating coach, and I begged her to be part of my team. A lot of times people think it's all a numbers game with dating, and when I started doing matchmaking without Elisa, it was pretty difficult because I'd set people up on these really great dates and they'd say it was really fun and they met the criteria that they had for dating on paper, but yeah, they just weren't feeling it. And so I reached out to Elisa and we became good friends and integrated our processes.
Yeah. And my background, I spent 17 years as a marriage and family therapist before I started focusing on just doing dating coaching exclusively. So I became a marriage and family therapist because I wanted to make sure I never got divorced. You know, I mean, I think there was so much fear, and people who come from situations where, you know, divorce is a little too intimate for them in terms of, you know, going through a struggle of divorce in their families, oftentimes have more fear of divorce. And so I became a marriage and family therapist, hoping to improve my chances of never getting divorced. Life doesn't always work out the way we think it will. And so I spent more years being single than I would have liked. And so, you know, during that process, I did create a lot of theories. And then once I got married and was happily married, I was like, okay, if I'm happily married and things go well, at some point I'm going to write a book. So I started writing books for singles about 12 years ago. And at that point, I, you know, was speaking a lot to singles groups. About 15 years ago, I started speaking a lot to singles groups. And Amy approached me several years ago when I was writing my dating system. And we did. We just became best friends. And I feel honored to be a part of what she's created. And I love my job.
Well, these two know what they're talking about for sure. So today we're continuing our conversation. In our last segment I did with you guys, we talked about dating in your 20s and kind of dipping your foot in the pool of dating and looking for a spouse, an eternal partner. And today we're continuing that conversation by talking about dating in your 30s. So if you're in your 30s and you're LDS, there's a stigma attached to that when you're not married, right? And and that's intimidating. I think there's a lot of pressure involved in that. And it seems like everybody knows somebody who needs to hook you up with them, right? They're, I've got this perfect person for you. And then it ends up being like the worst date you've ever been on in your life. So talk about how to kind of break down that stigma and what's important to look for when you're in your 30s.
Well, we see a wide range of reactions to being in your 30s or on up. Some people say they simply don't care, don't want to get married, which a lot of times is just their way of dealing with
it's some a defense
of the pain.
Mechanism, mm-hmm. Right.
And then others are very interested and make that very clear and maybe a little too apparent in their approach. So my advice would be to really keep living your life, enjoying your life, and make a concerted effort, a plan to how you're going to help meet people and move forward. And a lot of times there's gaps between the person you want to find and the person you currently are. So working on becoming the best version of you and getting to that person, there's a lot of things that you can do. I think it's easy to say what you won't do. I won't do online dating. I won't go to singles events. I won't do a singles ward or whatever it is that they have a mental block against. And so we just encourage people to let go of a lot of those things they won't do and open themselves up to what God would have them do and let Him guide them.
You know, also I find a lot of people approach singles life following an attachment pattern. So oftentimes people have more of an anxious attachment pattern, or they'll have an avoidant attachment pattern. The pattern we want to create is a more of a secure attachment pattern. So people who have an anxious attachment pattern oftentimes obsess and worry and are anxious about the fact that they're not in a relationship, and it's very painful for them, and they really want to get married, and they often feel more hurt and rejection, and that's going to complicate their single life. And if they understand that this is following an anxious attachment pattern and what a secure attachment would look like, they're going to have an easier time managing being single. The problem, too, is when I have an anxious attachment pattern, I tend to push people away because I'm so anxious and my insecurities come out. Whereas people who have more of an avoidant attachment pattern, they're disconnected from caring about whether or not they're in a relationship. And they're oftentimes looking for somebody who is more avoidant than they are, and to make them more excited about dating. And so I guess what I'm trying to say here is there's a reason why people feel detached, and there's a reason why people feel anxious, and there's a way to solve it. And the resolution we want to focus in on is creating this secure attachment. And so when they go on and they kind of live their life and they find joy and happiness in their life, they're going to be more attractive to the opposite sex. When they stay engaged, people who have an avoidant attachment oftentimes disengage and they're more passive. And the reality is passiveness equals passionless. And that's the primary experience that those who have an avoidant attachment experience, is they're passionless about dating. They're passionless in their relationships. They have a hard time feeling an emotional connection. And their passivity is part of the reason why they're struggling to connect. And so there's solutions for all of this, and that's what we try to focus on, is helping them to break it down and to become more involved and have more fun. So we see singles who are all across the board of really sad about being single and really complacent with being single.
The pool is a lot smaller, too. When you're in your 30s and you're LDS and you're looking for somebody that meets those standards that you are looking for in a partner, the pool of people that you're choosing from once you get over that 30 mark is a lot smaller. What's the best way to meet somebody that you've found? Or are there a few key ways, you know, that somebody can meet somebody? Or is it just sometimes luck and being in the right place at the right time or knowing the right person?
Well, the pool is smaller, perhaps, but it's actually not as small as people think it is. And that's the thing that I discovered being a matchmaker. I'm able to connect with those hidden gems out there. Even with online dating, which we're not an online dating site, we're a personal matchmaking service, but we do encourage people to try online dating, and we'll help them create their profile and help them navigate and understand how to be successful online and not be afraid of it. So coming back to a lot of the ways of just thinking about it, if you expect not to meet anyone, you probably won't meet anyone. But if you expect that you are going to have opportunities, that the Lord will bless you with those things, and you move forward with an eye of faith, that's when you're going to find success. And the biggest thing that I see is the mindset. We work with clients and teach them a lot of different things, but by far the biggest thing that uncovers the hidden gems is the way that they're thinking about dating and avoiding the thoughts of doubt that the adversary places in their path to cause them to really want to give up on dating.
My philosophy is it's not you, it's your technique. And so if people will just remember that it's not personal, the reason why they're not succeeding in dating isn't because there's something wrong with them, but there is something wrong with how they're approaching the process. And so if they will just learn different ways to approach the process more effectively, and I often talk about the difference between you can be right or you can be effective, and we often have a lot of ideas of how dating should be, how we want it to be, how we need it to be, or how we expect it to be. And the reality reality is, it is what it is. And so if they can get out of that thinking and into the thinking of, well, it is what it is, I don't like it, but how can I be effective at dating the way it really is? And so part of that is considering things that they haven't or haven't wanted to or haven't been willing to consider before, whether it's online dating or losing weight or refreshing their image. You know, there's, the first thing anyone sees is your physical appearance, and it's really hard to create a new second impression. And so really it's best if you do come forward with your best foot forward, being the best person that you can be, because your image is a reflection on how you feel about yourself. So if I don't do anything to make myself feel attractive, it's like I'm saying to other people, I don't think I have value. Why would you think I have value either? So if I invest in myself, others want to invest in me. So we see a lot of things that singles get caught into, whether it's not managing their image anymore or their weight, or they don't know how to make each other feel great. The premise behind all of what I teach in terms of flirting and pursuing skills is making the opposite sex feel great. And singles often forget whether or not they're making other people feel great, and they can focus in more on themselves. But it's fun when you focus in on making others feel great. And I have a whole set list of 17 secrets to the male and female psychology. And a lot of singles who aren't currently dating, it's because they're either not pursuing, they're not where other singles are, because they're not choosing to put themselves where other singles are. And then they don't flirt, or they're not asking for numbers. And so we problem solve every single piece of that into specific behaviors that they can do to get more success.
What final bit of hope do you give somebody who's feeling like, I am never going to find the right person? I'm just destined to be alone for the rest of my life. I'm just going to get a pet.
First off, that's a thinking error. You know, anytime we engage in all or nothing thinking, we are creating realities that just because I feel something doesn't mean it makes it true. Of course you feel like you're never going to get married, but that doesn't mean it's true. This is a faith-based program, and the Lord is very invested in what you want. So define what do you want, what's important to you, what's a priority, and what you value, and then your mind can be opened up to how you can accomplish those things. If you focus in on being effective, you can have what you want.
The way they feel is very common. They feel like they're alone. They feel like there's something wrong with them, and they've failed at the most important thing that they really want the most. But in reality, we see this situation time and time again, and we see people overcome and move forward and find that person. And we've had a lot of success being able to help them crack the code.
There is hope. Faith is the answer, not fear. And anything that perpetuates your fears is part of the problem. So choosing to have faith that the Lord intends for you to succeed, and He will help you to have the power and skills you need. But we oftentimes want a blessing to happen inconsistent with the law that governs that blessing. Every blessing is predicated upon the laws that govern that blessing. So you can't just continue doing what you're doing and think you're going to get the kind of outcome you're looking for. You have to understand what it really takes to be in a relationship.
Alisa Snell and Amy Stevens, thank you so much for being here today. And on our next segment with them, we're going to be talking about finding a spouse after divorce. So definitely an interesting topic you don't want to miss. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.